Oh, okay. Sorry, I should have made. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 1 in your Bibles today. And I know we're finished with Christmas, kind of, but you know, Christmas is every day because Christmas is about Jesus, and Jesus is every day for the Christian. But as I was looking through this passage in Matthew chapter 1, three words kept popping up, and I've been thinking about these for the last month, and I really started looking at it. I haven't developed it completely or entirely yet, but I just had some thoughts, and today we're going to be looking at the whole Bible. We're going to start in Genesis. We'll end up in Revelation, so we're going to look at the whole thing. That singspiration might not happen today. It might be next year. No, I'm just kidding. It's not going to be that bad, but anyway, we're just going to look at these three words, but I'm going to share with you in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. So if you would, go ahead and stand once you find your place there. And we're just going to read this. I'll read it and you follow along, and we'll have a word of prayer. Okay. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning again, thanking you so much for allowing us to be here. We know there's no other reason that we would come to this place except for the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And Father, we're reminded of that in this passage again as we look at this this morning. I pray you just guide and direct, give me the right words to say, and help us just to leave this place with some thoughts about you, who you are. We thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for sending Jesus down the cross for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I've been studying this, or not so much in depth, but just thinking about it in general, really, here in verse 23, it says that his name is Emmanuel, and it tells us what that is interpreted as. God with us. And I was thinking about that. God with us. God with us. What does that mean? Well, obviously, you can take the obvious and say, well, that means that Jesus came and walked on the earth. How long was he here for? 33 years. So, for 33 years, God was with us. But I contend that God has always been with us and will always be with us from the very foundation to the very end. Future, past, and future eternal. Or not future, but present, eternally, and in the past and internal. Got the wrong word. But he is here and always has been here and always will be here. And as I thought about that, God with us, I started going through the scripture and looking at some things to see where has God been or where is God with us. And again, there's nothing new here. It's nothing maybe too excited to get over, but the thought of being that God is with us is important. Because that means that no matter where I am at, God is there. He is with us. And it's not just in one dimension, but it's in a second dimension. If I can use the word dimension, it might not be the right word. It depends on whether you're born again or not, which makes a difference as well. But nonetheless, God is still with us. Even if we're not saved, God is with us. The question I want answered, or for myself even, is, am I with God? Am I with God? That's the important aspect, because God is with us, but am I with Him? Turn to Genesis chapter 1 for just a second. We'll be moving around the Bible a little bit this morning. And just bear with me again. This is not anything profound. It's just something that I've been thinking about as I, last several months, really been thinking about God and what God means to me in my life and what kind of life I would have had without Him as a personal Savior or having the personal relationship. But here in Genesis chapter 1, we're going to begin in the very first verse and just talk a little bit about this. But the fact that God is with us. God was with us in the beginning. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then verse 3, it says, and God said. If you looked at in chapter 1 alone, God said is mentioned 10 times. See, God didn't take His hands and form this earth. He didn't have to get out His tools to do anything. He literally spoke this world into existence. By the very breath, He put this place into existence. In verse 31, after 6 literal days of not lifting a finger or a hand, the Bible says God saw that everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Why did God do this? Why did God even begin this? Well, maybe one day we'll get to ask Him. But I think one of the reasons God did this was He wanted to make this place a wonderful place, a place called paradise in essence, Garden of Eden. And He wanted to commune with His creation, the beast of the field, man. He wanted to spend time with them. He wanted to have a relationship with them. And this relationship would be established by Him. And He wanted man to do it because He wanted to do it and not because God was going to make him do it. In the beginning, God was with us. I want you to turn over just for a second to Psalm 19. And as I was thinking through this a little bit, here's creation. And then we see in Psalm 19, this is spoken of again. And as I look out and I see all the things that that the Lord has made, it wasn't that long ago we had a full moon. And as I was looking up at that full moon, I thought, wow, what a magnificent thing that God has done. He made that. He put that up there. He put that up there for us. In Psalm 19, David, he's sharing, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward, he says. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. Verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You see, God is with us. And we can look out and see that God is with us. We can see what He's done. We can see how He's orchestrated all of this. And here David is crying out to God and he's talking to God and telling Him and praising Him for all that He's done. But he mentions the fact that he has that relationship. That's what he said, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. That's a relationship that everybody needs. God wants everyone to have that relationship, but He's given everyone a choice. Yes, God is with us, but not everybody is with God. But that's God's desire nonetheless, is that we would all be with Him. God created this paradise, and He created it so He could be with man. God communed with man. Turn back to Genesis chapter 2. Excuse me here. In Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 15. It says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So what he did was he put him in the garden and gave him a choice. Why would God ever do that? God is with us. He wants us to be with Him. Why would He give us that choice? Number one, we're not robots. God wants us to reciprocate the love that He has for us. We love Him because He first loved us. And that's what He wants in every single person's life, is for them to reciprocate that love and return it back to Him. He's not forcing anybody to do it, but that's His desire. He put two perfect people in this place called the Garden of Eden. God had literally walked with these people in the Garden of Eden. He was there communing with them until one day they disobeyed God. They had a little help, of course, which we all struggle with, and that is Satan and his devices. But yet, it was the lust of their flesh that ended up causing their problem. And because of that, God kicked them out of the garden. But I want you to know, even in man's fallen state, God is with us. Turn over to Genesis chapter 4. Look at verse 1. It says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." Right there we see that God is with them. They rightly respond to what happened, and that is God gave them this child called Cain. It was God's doing. God is one who opens the womb. It is God who does that, and God did this for them. Verse 2 it says, "And she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." God was with them and still wanted to have a relationship with them. We know the story of Cain and Abel. Cain brought an unacceptable sacrifice to God. It was something that he had grown in the garden, and it was probably the best thing he had out of that garden, but he brought that to God as an offering. The problem is God didn't have respect to that offering because it was not a right offering. It had already been illustrated to Cain and to Abel, to Adam and Eve, that an offering to God required a blood sacrifice. That's what he did for Adam and Eve when he put those skins on them. And so Abel, who did, he brought the firstling of the flock and of the fat, it says, and that word fat means choices. He brought that and God accepted that sacrifice. It came at a price of a life, whereas Cain's did not. You see, God wanted to be with them, and He wants them to be with Him, and yet there's choices to be made. We can make the choice that we want to be with God, and that is understanding what He wants from us. What's the plan? What does He want to do for us? How does He want us to be with Him? What's the purpose of this? So through time and as things went on, turn over to Genesis chapter 6. We come to verse 5. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." Now, this is even through the line of Seth. The line of Seth is a godly line, by the way. It says, "And that every imagination and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He hath made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart." And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. You know, that's interesting when you see that word repent. We always say God doesn't change his mind. Well, when you look up this word repent in the Hebrew, it's really not the same word as you see in the Greek and other places where it talks about changing your mind. God will not change his mind. He's already made up his mind. The plan is already in place. He's not going to change that. That word in the Hebrew means to sigh or breathe strongly. By implication, to be sorry. See, God's plan was that man would commune with him, and man has turned from him. There was wickedness on the earth. Nobody wanted to follow God. It made him sorry. It's like, oh, I've done all this for these folks, and yet they still reject me. But then we see in verse 8. Verse 8 shows us exactly what it takes to be with God. It says in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That word grace means to find favor. He found favor in the sight of the Lord. How could he do that? He was like everybody else. Well, the Bible tells us in verse 9. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. See, that was the whole thing. God was with us or with them in the beginning, and they knew that. Noah is from that godly line of Seth. And so Noah, through training or a relationship, he walked with God. He believed God. And if you believe God, it is counted to you for righteousness, just like Abraham. And so when God looked out on the earth, he could find nobody except for Noah. And Noah found favor in God's eyes because Noah walked with God. To me, that's amazing. That's right. There's the answer. That's the answer to mankind and the relationship we need to have with God is to learn to walk with Him. And Noah did. You see, God is holy, without sin. And for us to have that relationship, we need to learn how to do that as well, to accept God's plan and to trust Him, believe what He says. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he walked with the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us Noah preached. He gave all those people opportunities to repent. Noah's the only one that we know that was preaching. Now, he had children that were married. There were 8 total. But the Bible says in 2 Peter 2:5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So Noah's mission, as he walked with God, was to preach to the ungodly, to warn them, and also God told him to build an ark. Which takes a lot of faith when you think about it. Because it had never rained on the earth before. What do I need an ark for? Why do I need this big boat for? Because he had faith and he believed God. See, he could trust God in that. And he learned that by walking with God. God has always been with us. Always. We've not always been with him. So God was with us in the beginning. God was with us when we were fallen and are still fallen. But God was with us in the flesh. Turn back to Matthew chapter 1. Verse 23 again. The Bible states, as Matthew penned these words, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So God with us in this condition is in the flesh. God with us came and he came and became a man just like we are in the flesh. The only difference there is that he was born of a virgin.
He didn't have a human father like we do. This was mentioned many times in the Bibles that this would have to take place. We can go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. This is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. David, a man after God's own heart, was promised in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 through 13, says, And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. He's talking about Jesus. Solomon restated this in 1 Kings 9:5. Or it was told to him, it says, Then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, There shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. Isaiah, he saw this. God gave him this. Why? Because God was with him. God has always been with us. In the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, and he said, Hear ye now, O house of David. He's speaking to that tribe of Judah, if you will. It is a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Again, he's telling us that God will always be with us. And he has been and will be. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 1. He said, Concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, and according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. God with us. You know, Jesus, he came to fulfill the plan. God knew for the foundation of the world that he would have to send Jesus. That's why we have so many prophecies that reveal that from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3. All the way to the end of the Bible, it talks about Jesus. There's that thread that runs through every single book, every chapter. It's about Jesus. It's about God with us. Amen. God wants that relationship with his creation. You know, if I would have been God, and I'm not thankful, I know you're thankful I'm not, I know I'm thankful I'm not, but I wouldn't have done it the way God would have done it. I probably would have went ahead and just wiped everybody out and started over. Just say, hey, look, it's a waste. I'm going to do something different. But he didn't. Why? Because he wants that relationship. And if we will take a step toward him, if we'll draw nigh to him, he will establish, or we can establish that relationship with him. It's really all by him. God never gave up on mankind. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1 for just a second. Luke chapter 1. We see again the Annunciation. We see that the angel's going to tell Mary she's the chosen one for this miraculous birth. Excuse me. Look at verse 28. It says, And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. I looked up that word, or that phrase, favor with God, highly favored. It's from the Greek word charituo, which is from the root of charis, which charis is grace. The same thing that Noah found in the eyes of God, that grace, was what Mary also was favored by, is God's grace. Why was she favored by God's grace? It's the same reason that every one of us is favored by God's grace. That benefit or that greatness or goodness He gives to us. Go to verse 46 of chapter 1, Luke. Here we saw, last week we talked about this, or the week before. It says, And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. She had a relationship. That relationship was what God found favor in her. When we have a relationship with God, He finds favor in us. He wants to benefit us. He wants to bless us. But it requires the relationship. Yes, the rain does fall on the just and unjust. Many people are benefited just by you knowing Christ as your Savior. Those that you are around, those that you work with, there is the benefit. God with us is, in the general sense, is here and always has been. But when you have put your faith and trust in Christ, He is in you specifically. And just because you happen to be somewhere, if you are walking with God, the people around you will have benefit. You say, what are you talking about? There's a lot of ways. First off, you're going to be honest. You're going to do a good job, right? You're probably not going to be swearing and cussing and getting too mad about things. Now, we all get in the flesh sometimes, no doubt. But by walking with God, it benefits those that are around us. And hopefully, so much so that they will see a difference and they too will receive the benefit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary, she knew she had that relationship. God highly favored her, or she had grace in His eyes. When I looked up the word with, it says, you know, God with us. What does that word with mean? The word meta in the Greek. It means amid, or with which it is joined. God with us. He's amid, or joined, if you will. In this case, in Jesus' specific case, Jesus joined the human race and walked on the face of this earth and was tempted just as we were, yet never once. That means He never had a bad thought in His head. Boy, I can't think of that. Never, ever had a bad thought. Never said anything that was wrong. Never, ever, ever disobeyed the Word of God, because He is the Word of God. About 2,000 years ago, He was manifested in the flesh. He dwelt on the earth. People of that day could see Him. They could feel Him. They could eat with Him. They could talk with Him. They could spend time with Him and learn of Him. Boy, wouldn't that be neat today if Jesus had come to our church and He was here and after the church was over that you took Him home and sat down and talked with Him. Wouldn't that be neat? And He responded and He talked with you. That would be neat. That you could learn more of Him and learn about Him and get it firsthand. Who He was and why He was there. Maybe He would do one of His miracles. Who knows? He is God. He was here in the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And he's given it to us right here. We want to sit down and eat with Jesus. This is where we do it. We can go right here and spend time with him. We can find out about him, what he thought and what he did and how he lived. Because I believe Jesus Christ was manifested in the flesh to help us to see that we were incapable of living on this earth without sin, because we couldn't keep the law. And he became the example for us so we would know what it is to have a relationship with God. He did that for us. Jesus came for one purpose, and that was to seek and to save that which is lost. We say that a lot of times, but let me take a step backwards, just one step. He came to do the Father's will. That was the bottom line, right? The seeking to save which is lost is the Father's will, but the bottom line was Jesus came to do the will of the Father or the Father's will. That was his whole purpose. He said that several times. He told his disciples when they were concerned that Jesus hadn't eaten when he met the woman at the well. He said to them in John chapter 4, verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." His work. That's why I'm here. In John chapter 6, verse 38 says, "For I am come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." I think about that and I think, God with us. To me, that's amazing. Here's Jesus, who is God, but yet he deflects it all back to the Father. Every single time. He couldn't do anything that was outside of the will of God. Not anything. Of course, he is God, but he always deflected it back to the Father. Turn over to John chapter 12 for a second. We're talking about God with us. In John chapter 12, I want you to look at verse 42. A lot of things have gone on in this chapter. Jesus' triumphal entry. He made his way and he's talking now to some of the rulers. And just listen to verse 42. He begins here. He says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him." I thought that was interesting when I read that. These chief rulers, they were part of the Sanhedrin, part of the group of Pharisees, whatnot. He says in verse 42, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." Here it's saying they believe on him, but they would not confess him because of fear of man, basically. Well, verse 43, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." Again, he's deflecting the belief onto God the Father. We know that we put our faith and trust in Jesus. That's what God wants us to do because that's God's eternal plan. But at this particular time, Jesus is still in the flesh, on the earth, God with us. He said in verse 45, "And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." He's saying, if you see me, you see God the Father who sent me. "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." In other words, they don't mix. Just like water and oil, darkness and light don't mix. So when we have that relationship, God is with us. When we're with him, then we will not be walking in darkness. Now, that's, again, not instantaneous. You're going to work and grow in your Christian walk, and you're going to learn. But your desire is to learn. Your desire is to know. Your desire is drawn to the light, and you would want to reject the darkness. Again, that comes over a lifetime of learning, because sometimes we don't even know what darkness is. He goes on in verse 47, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came that the world might be saved. And so all he's doing is presenting himself and the message of God. And everybody gets to make their own decision. Because God is with us, but we have to make the decision to be with him. He said in verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The world that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." God's going to judge. They know that. But here he told us these chief rulers, they believed on him. Yet they wouldn't confess him as the Savior. They were afraid of men. Now, I don't know if they were saved or not. But Jesus made statements that sometimes makes you wonder. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 34, he says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." See, Jesus gave his life that we might have eternal life. He was God with us in the flesh for those 33 years. And he went to the cross that we might spend eternity with God if we would just believe in him. So we see that God is with us in the beginning. God is with us in our fallen state. God is with us in the flesh, or was. But God is also with us in his word. In his word. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21, it says, We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick." What does that word quick mean? It means alive. The word of God is alive, it says. "And powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So God is with us. Today, God is with us in his word. We want to find out who God is, we go see, because it tells us right here. It tells us all about him. And God, we need help to even understand the Word of God, do we not? That's where we come to God is with us in the Spirit. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when we accept him as our Savior, something happens. There is a change. It is a literal change. It's not something that is supposedly way out there, some spiritual thing that, wow, what happened? I think this happened or that happened. Or I saw this light or saw that. It's a literal Holy Spirit, God himself, indwelling the believer. And it makes a difference in your life. It changes your life and it gives you those desires that you want to know God. You want to spend your life with him. You know, a good time to start spending your life with him is today. Just do it today. Because it's forever. Wouldn't it be nice when we see Jesus that we really have a close relationship with him? We can sit at his feet and he can talk to us and we say, "Yeah, I remember Jesus. Yeah, I read that in your word. You showed me that and you showed me." I think that would be a neat thing. I don't think I want to sit at his feet and listen to the stories. You know how it is when everybody else is attentive and they're listening because they know lots of this and they're giving the questions and answers. You ever been to class and you're supposed to have read something and the teacher comes and says, "Okay, open your books," and starts asking questions and you don't know anything because you didn't do anything? I don't want to be in front of Jesus in that situation because he's given me right here what I need to know. Jesus completed the work on the cross. He said, "It is finished." And when he did, he said and told his disciples in John chapter 14, go ahead and flip over there if you're in John 12. Look at verse 16. He told them that he would not leave them comfortless. In verse 16, he says in John chapter 14, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." I like that word, another. Okay? Again, this is God. "That ye may abide, that he may, abide with you forever." You can't lose the Spirit of God. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you're sealed into the day of redemption. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." You see, God is with us, but there are a lot of people that will never be with Him because the world's got their attention, the world's got their life and their direction, and they'll never look up to God, and they've been deceived. What do people talk about today? What's our concern today? Obviously, it's global warming. You've got 12 years left on the face of this earth. Amen? That's what we're hearing these days. You better hustle because we're losing it. Well, this earth is not my home. I'm passing through. If this is your home, then you don't have a relationship. And that's what's important. And that's what Jesus did for us. In verse 18, he says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you." And of course, he's talking about the Holy Spirit in verse 26, "but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost," he says. Today, that is what you must have. That is what I must have to have a relationship. It begins with our verses in Romans, "that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved." You know, the man, or with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made known unto salvation. In other words, when you put your faith and trust in Christ, and it is something that happens, I believe the Spirit of God that resides in you will say, "You better tell somebody. You better tell them something happened to you. You're different inside. You better go tell somebody. Something's happened. You're not the same person." I think it's automatic. I think it's automatic that we want to share that we are different, that God has changed my life and He's going to change my life. I think that will just happen and occur naturally when you have the Spirit of God residing in you. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, that doesn't mean that, "Lord, save me," you know, the old foxhole confession. "I don't want to die, and if I die, I want to go to heaven, so Lord, save me." That's not going to work. First off, you have to realize you're lost. You're not worthy. Jesus died for you, and you need to ask Him to save you. And when you do that with all your heart and believe, as Brother Kirk said this morning, there will be an action with that faith. Your life will start transforming, some faster than others, but it will happen. See, it's only by grace. It's only by grace. Just like Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, Mary, highly favored, grace. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." God's grace. He's with us, and He wants us to be with Him. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and we're going to wrap up. God with us. Today, I want you to know that God is with us. He's with everybody in the general sense today. We can look out and we can see the snow, we can see the sun, we can see everything out there. God is with us. He's here. God controls the things that are on this earth, whether you understand it or not. He has got His hand on everything. Now, that doesn't mean He's forcing everything. He lets things happen, but He's got His hand on it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want you to look at verse 9. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." Why is that? Because God is with us in the Spirit. "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" In other words, I can understand man because I am a man. To understand God, I need the Spirit of God. He says, verse 12, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." He says, "But the natural man," that's the lost man, "receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." He's saying a person who is lost and never put their faith and trust in Christ is going to have a very hard time understanding. Why do you think so many people believe that we evolved? Well, one reason is, obviously, the world's taught them, Satan himself, who is the god of this world. But the fact is, they don't have the Spirit of God in them. When we have the Spirit of God in us, it will draw us to the Word of God, and if we will openly study it and let the Spirit help us, speak expressly to us through it, He will reveal the truth to us. We will not buy the lie of the devil. Now, that's not easy. You think, wow, okay, that's all we got to do. Well, Adam and Eve were two perfect people in a perfect place, and they were seduced into believing that they would become gods. How easy is it? It is very easy. That's why it takes us to be determined. Yes, we're going to make mistakes. Yes, we're going to do some things that aren't right. But as God is with us today, He will be with us in eternity. But only those who are with Him. Let me go to one last passage in Revelation 21. I think I told you that one was it. But the last passage, Revelation 21. Just look at these few verses here. God with us. This is where my prayer is that everybody in this room will be one day. And everybody that I know will be there, I hope. But they have to have that relationship. In verse 1 of chapter 21 of Revelation, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men," God with us, "and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And then the warning, verse 8. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." This morning I want us to realize that God is with us, but we need to be with Him. And when you put your faith and trust in the Lord, being with Him is right here. Look, I understand how hard it is, but we will always do the things we love most. And I know there's things sometimes that I love more than this. You say, really? Yeah. Because I'm flesh just like everybody else. And it's a battle. But I know in my heart of hearts, this is where I need to be. Even though I'm not always. And that's what's important. Because we want to be with Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your love for us. And we do thank You for sending Jesus to come to this earth for those 33 years. And He died on that cross that we too could have that life everlasting. Father, I pray today that if there's somebody here that's never put their faith and trust in Christ, that today would be the day of salvation. Maybe there's somebody here that's not spending time with you. You're with us, but you want us to be with you. And that's a daily walk. I pray you'd help us and encourage us. And Father, help us to fight off and thwart the things that will hinder us. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.